I was driving across the country when I was met with the thick of it. Why didn't I take the route through Reno? Attempting to cut my time, I made the disastrous choice of trying to push through to LA in one go from Denver. As I passed through Paradise, I flipped to the news when I saw the detour on my route. Road closed. Apparently, the fire line had split, passing through the Mojave Desert, and was spreading northeast and south, forcing the closure of the main highways crossing over the Nevada border. My GPS looped me north, redirecting me past Pahrump and turning at the small town of Tonopah, where I could safely pass the other line fire growing in Death Valley. I regretted not stopping in Vegas. Going on my 12th hour, I struggled to focus, with the growing tunnel vision and looming threat of losing my job, let alone the danger of the fire. My fear peaked when my phone service blipped out. Was I supposed to turn there? I questioned myself here and there, squinting at the turns. I don't know how far I drove, but I was speeding, hoping to cross the Sierras before I ran out of gas. I was surrounded by endless mountains and a growing expanse. I estimated 5 more hours, and I'd be in the clear. The sky started turning a glowing gray, the sun suddenly stifled in a hazy curtain. I watched the temperature gauge steadily tick up the further I went. Should I keep going? I questioned, rolling down the window. The heat was unbearable. I knew I was going to have to turn around soon. Hadn't seen a soul in sight, no cars since I had made that turn back at what I thought was Tonopah. Did I make the wrong turn? Was I really in Death Valley? Panicking, I wondered at what temperature my car would start to fail. When did rubber start to melt? I sped back the way I came, praying I would find refuge somewhere. Scanning through the billowing smoke, I gripped my steering wheel, trying to avoid staring at my gas gauge, which was dipping further and further. At that point, I began to question my life choices, my very existence, actually, when I came upon a clearing in the smoke. My car sputtered until stopping suddenly at the diner. In the middle of seemingly nowhere, there was a shiny silver exterior reflecting the glowing red sign, Dealer's Choice. It was a welcomed neon oasis among the desert hellscape. I was beside myself as I entered the pristine retro diner. I was met with the smell of fresh coffee and a burger being flipped. Hello? Come on in. A lone blonde woman was pouring coffee into a standard white mug. I nervously approached the counter while looking over my shoulder. I could see the flames in the distance. There's...
Passing through?
She said, smiling. A plate of burger and fries was placed in front of me. I was suddenly so hungry. She caught me skimming the interior.
Happens all the time round here. Just have a seat. Relax.
I slid onto the glittery red round stool. God, that burger. I suppose anything tastes better when you think it might be your last. My worries began to melt away. Surely she wouldn't be there if she was concerned. Maybe the diner was retrofitted with some sort of fire-resistant coating, or that's what I told myself. I don't know if it was shock or exhaustion, but I just didn't care in that moment. I accepted my fate, regardless of what happened.
So where are you headed?
She asked. I caught her name tag, scrolled in a glossy red cursive, the name Lily, as she poured me another cup of coffee. L.A.
Ah, City of Dreams.
Let me guess. A writer. She pointed to my car keys and tapped my USB keychain. She was right.
I get L.A. folks in here from time to time.
She pointed to the wall. It was covered in framed photos and scripts from the best. I approached the wall, examining the signatures.
You know, I could put you up there.
Me? No matter how many years I spent dedicating my life, my days off, my work breaks, hours before bed. Truth was, I didn't have much to show for it. It was truly my deep pain. I resented my life. How did I even end up like this? Always a step behind, my dream always out of reach. Where did the years go? I snapped back to reality, seeing the orange glow flickering on the picture frames. Looks like we're going to be here a while, she said, now standing in the middle of the diner,
facing the wall of windows as the fire engulfed everything outside. My car! I was in shock. What was I going to do? Don't you deserve a better car? Lily scoffed. She was right, but what about my job? That's why I had to drive, to save my transfer money for a down payment on some crappy studio apartment. 2 months worth. You never wanted that job anyways, she continued, almost reading my mind. It was beneath you. You deserve to be on that wall, with the best. At that moment, I had concluded that this woman was nuts. I began to back into a nearby corner. The heat. I felt like I was going to be baked alive. Lily walked around to behind the counter, while also maintaining eye contact. How much was it for that place on Bellagio? That place you always dreamed about? She clicked a button on the register and withdrew endless stacks of $100 bills. $800,000? $900,000? She counted aloud. I inched closer, the flames reflecting across her face as she set the money on the counter. $8.3 million. She motioned for me to come closer. I know how great of a writer you are. It's just, sometimes you gotta know someone to make your dreams come true. She upturned her hand towards the wall of photos. Isn't that what you really want? The life you've always dreamed of? The fame, the money. It could all be yours. It could be your life. I was feeling dizzy from the heat. Her hand gripped my shoulder. A new start, right where you want to be. My eyes started to well. Was she some sort of witch? Was this all just a dream? Maybe I was in some fever dream, actually dying out there alone in the desert. So tell me, what would you... Anything. Everything. I interrupted her. And I meant it. I awoke at the wheel among a scorched desert at a desolate crossroads. The smell was expensive, surrounded by pristine, shiny Italian leather. I started the sports car, and it revved with vigor. I reached for the receipt, signed in blood. My car's GPS lit, rerouting me to home in Bel Air. Was it all just a dream, or was it just my usual bender? I can still remember my life, and how it was. It all feels so surreal now. It's like my life has skipped, and I can't help but feel like an imposter. I'm torn between who I was, or what I imagine. I don't know these people, but they know me. I just want my life back. I didn't know the terms of the deal. I want to go back. This is a true story, and occasionally I think about it, especially when things get tough, wondering if my guardian angel is out there, listening. I remember my grandmother telling me this story growing up. She wasn't one to embellish, and told me this during one of my week-long stays during the summer months growing up. She was up early, as usual, making breakfast for my cousin and I. Sitting down at the kitchen table, I'd ask her about Grandpa. She told me about how he fought in the war, and his fascination for trains, and how he was a hard worker. She also told me that things weren't easy, especially after they closed down the mines. He had to work multiple jobs to feed their large family. Can you imagine 11 kids? She had said on this one afternoon, she was upset when my grandpa was at work, crying, worried about how much food they had left. She knew he worked so hard, he gave everything to them, when a man showed up at the door. Mind you, they lived miles from the nearest small town, on a winding gravel road. She referred to him as the Shivering Man, and he had asked for some food. She quickly ushered him in. She said, reflecting back, she shouldn't have without Grandpa being home. But this man was clearly cold. She sat him at the kitchen table, serving him some stew that had been cooking on the stove, along with some bread. He wolfed down the meal while she gathered some towels to warm him, even offering one of my grandfather's old coats to keep him warm. When the man suddenly seemed better and thanked her for the meal, as he stepped out onto the stoop, she tried to get him to leave with a bundle of bread when he turned and told her that she would never be without and that she would always have a full fridge. The man left, and she swore she never had to worry again. She was convinced that this man had been an angel, and that God had tested her, rewarding her because of her genuine generosity. She never talked about it again, but I heard a couple of my older aunts mention one time, "I remember the shivering man." I believe her, and I believe them. Was it an angel? I don't know, but I like to believe in something that when needed, something intervenes.